I have to tell you that the scripture lessons that we're assigned through the lectionary during Advent are horrible. They're just horrible. I would rather have to shop at Walmart on Black Friday than to deal with these texts. And we will see the second coming before I shop on Black Friday. So I chose the lesser of the hard texts. Probably because you may or may not have heard these texts. But it comes from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah is like Bach. You have to hear it in order to appreciate it. So relish the hard words from the prophet and let them find you where you are on your journey today. The 64th chapter of Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear down the heavens and come down to us, so that the mountains would shake at your presence, when as the fire kindles the brushwood and the fire causes the waters to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that all the nations might tremble in your presence. When you did the awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountain quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for God. You meet those who gladly do what is right, those who remember you in your ways. But you are angry when we have sinned. Because you hid yourself, we have transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy cloths. We fade like a leaf, and our iniquities are like the winds that take us up. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your presence from us, and you have delivered us into the land of our iniquities. Yet, O Lord, you are our God. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are the works of your hands. Do not be exceedingly angry, O God. Do not remember our iniquities forever. Now consider that we are your people. This is the word of life. Thanks be to God. And this was the better of all the texts that were assigned. So Advent is my favorite season in the liturgical year. It's partially because I could have been ordained back in May, but I waited for Advent because I never thought that there would be a place for someone like me in the church. And I lined up the clergy and the choir, and we entered singing, "Come, thou long expected Jesus, come and set thy people free." And so Advent has a special meaning to me. But it's also this time of watching and waiting, all amidst the holiday brouhaha. On this morning on KOSU, there was a woman and she worked for the FBI. And she says that as Christmas draws near, they have to do more and more gun checks, background checks for people. Since 1996, the FBI has done more than 200 million background checks for guns. So nothing quite like celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior than to give a gun at Christmas time, I guess. And I'm not going to get into that mess. You know, in my tradition, Presbyterians say that Jesus alone is Lord of the conscience. So we don't take stands on gun control or birth control. We just say, you're smart. You figure it out. And that's the best way to do it, I think. I was talking to a friend of mine that I hadn't talked to in a number of years. Everyone was calling to make sure that I was okay, and I spent my whole weekend on the phone. And this is a woman who's one of the most remarkable women that I know. She's a social worker. She has twins who are 3 years old now. the most organized person I know. She can take a child out of an abusive home at 2 in the afternoon, and by 6 o'clock, she will have that child placed. I mean, she's remarkable. And I asked her how her Thanksgiving went, and she said, fine. So my clinical training says, say a little more about that. She told me that they just planned to have a simple Thanksgiving, just her and her husband and the twin boys. And then a week ago, he said, oh, I've invited the family over for Thanksgiving. The family consists of 35 people. You don't mind, do you? She said, I didn't talk to him for 5 days. And she said, okay, but you are going to help me. You are not going to watch football. And you are going to be a part of every single part of this process. And then she said to me, you men don't know what it's like to have to do Thanksgiving. And I said, woman, I've done Thanksgiving for 22 people. She goes, oh, yeah, that's right. I forget. You're not really a man. Is that how you really meant that to sound, social worker? And she goes, oh, no, you know what I mean. Yeah. But what she was saying was, a lot of times we don't know all the preparations that go into things. And granted, she psychs herself out a lot. I mean, she has to have cloth napkins. And the cloth napkins have to match the candles. And, you know those people. But this is the season of preparation. Preparing our hearts amidst a world that doesn't get it. That doesn't get it in any way, shape, or form. A time to slow down. A time to find peace in our hearts. A time to find out that that's what Christmas is about. That all the children in this church, that's what Christmas is about. Advent started in the 15th century from a French bishop and has been celebrated by mainline churches ever since. And there is a new thing that has started among churches, and it's called the Advent controversy. And I want us to get involved with it. It started with 5 pastors who got together and said, I'm just so tired of my church not getting it, or not even trying to get it. They're just like everyone else. So the 5 pastors got together and they set up 4 things that they challenged their church to do. And I want to invite you in that. The first thing is to worship fully. Now, in this church, we don't tell you what to wear. We don't tell you whether you can take communion or not. We don't tell you how to decorate the sanctuary. Everyone is supposed to come and bring who you are. So I want you to do that. I want you to bring your full hearts to worship. If you're grumpy, then bring your grumpiness. Seriously. If you're hurting, then bring your pain. If you're full of love, then bring the fullness of that love. But bring everything you have to worship. So worship fully. The second thing is to spend less. To spend less. I think the 2 great sins of America right now are greed and waste. And I would invite you to think, 2 or 3 years ago, can you think of 1 Christmas present you remember? We spend $608 billion a year on Christmas. $608 billion a year. To do what? To do gifts, to send gifts to people that they don't even remember. Christian bookstores are filled with things that I call Jesus junk. You know, little coffee cups that says Jesus is the reason for the season and all that crap. And there are some people who just love to buy all that junk and then have more than they need. You know, I moved into a house that was half the size of the house I lived in Kentucky or in Manhattan. And then I got all my parents' stuff on top of that. And so now I'm taking an hour every day just to sort through stuff. I don't need stuff. And yet I know my sister, my blessed, blessed sister, is going to buy me all this crap with cardinals on it. She's probably going to listen to my sermon, by the way. But every year she does this. And it's just like, stop. Just stop. Spend less. The third thing is to give more. And those two things are not in conflict. Spend less, but give more to people who need it. $25 can help a family of five people have fresh drinking water for an entire year. My friends and I, we've started giving each other cards from Heifer International, where we will buy animals for people who really need them. A goat can put a child through college, selling the goat's milk. So think about how you spend your money and use it for the betterment of Christmas. And the fourth thing is, so show up fully, spend less, give more, and let it all be about love. I mean, while I hate that cheesy little thing that says Jesus is the reason for the season, it is true. But let everything you do be about love. And remember, next year at the holidays, some of those people might not be here anymore. So invest yourself in them. And by the way, take time to invest some love in yourself. Because that's the only way that we can get rid of greed and waste, is to love more and spend less. Think about it. Amen.